Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome. He's mighty. He's great. He is the omnipresent one. Yep, he's over there where you are. He's over here where I am. He promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's not a human being. He don't lie. He is the essence of truth. He is our Father, the great and mighty creator, the shepherd of shepherds, the Lord of lords, the one who blew his very breath into you, and you're still alive today, the one who said he loved you in the name of Jesus, and the one who we love because he first loved us, and he commanded us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and that is no choice. He commanded us to do it. That's his first commandment. And then, you know, he has a second commandment. He said to love each other like we love ourselves. So we can't do it on our own. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to love the Father with all of our heart, soul, and strength, to love each other like we love ourselves. We need help in this day and time to do those things that God is calling us to do in the earth realm. Yeah, we can't do it alone. We need his Holy Spirit for guidance, for direction. So, Father, we thank you today that you are Almighty God, that you are the Almighty Blessed One, that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are Lord God Almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. Nothing is impossible to you. So we thank you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we serve a God of impossibility. Yep, you are the sovereign, mighty, breasted one. You are the Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Oh, yeah, you've healed me many times, oh, God. You are Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. You are Jehovah Adonai, the Lord God Almighty. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you are Jehovah Shalom. Yeah, you make peace. And we need peace right now in the earth realm. We need peace in our homes. We need peace in our city, our state, our nation. We need peace. You are the peacemaker, and we thank you for providing peace of mind for us, that kind of peace of mind that gives, you know, surpasses all human understanding. We thank you today for what you're doing and what you've done and what you're about to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know you're coming back soon because you're promised, and you know, hallelujah, your promises are yea and amen. You will return to the earth in the name of Jesus. No man don't know when, even Jesus don't know when. But I thank you, Jesus, for sitting on the Father's right hand, interceding for us on a daily basis. What a mighty God we serve. Father, we thank you that we could say, Abba, Abba, Father, which art in heaven. And you're the one that order our steps. Yeah, we don't know the direction.
Bible study, we love the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show ourselves approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can't rightly divide it if we don't read it, study it, and obey it. So I thank God for each of you being on with us today. Oh, yeah, we are giving the high praises of God today. We're giving him praise. It says, you know, let the high praises of God be in our mouth. He didn't say the birds, the bees. He didn't say the trees. He didn't say the flowers, the animals. He said in our mouth, the human being, you know, the one that I created in my image, let us give him high praise today. So we're thanking him that we could give him praise. You know, there are many people today, they're still alive, but they can't give him praise. They don't even know they're on the face of the earth, some laying on their back, some in the hospital, tubes everywhere. But thank God we're yet alive, and we are free to worship him. We are free to praise him. We are free to honor him. We are free to reverence him. And that's what we have to do every day, every day. And he don't miss a day from breathing in us. Uh-uh. He don't miss a day until it's time to come home to him. Yep, he makes sure we have fresh air to breathe every day. You know, he's clearing our lungs, our heart, every part of our body. He's a great physician. Yeah, I know doctors are great. You know, they're great doctors. But I don't know about you, but I need the great physician in my life, the one who could touch every organ and say, who could send the word and say, be thy healed. The one who can touch my head all the way to my toe inside out and who can heal me. That's the one I need. He said, whose report will I believe? I believe his report. His report says that I'm healed by his stripes. I believe it. I believe it. Not because I thought it, because he said it. He knows what he's talking about now. He ain't never made a mistake. Lord God, you know, many people think they were mistakes. They were like, well, why was I born? Even Job thought, well, why was I born? I had to go through this. I had to go through that. Job wondered, why was he born? Yeah, he was born to do what God commissioned him to do. So, you know, each of us have a purpose for being born. And guess what? All of our purposes are different. Yeah, you don't have to be worried about nobody else overtaking your purpose because they can't do it. But you can do it. You could do the purpose that God put you here to do. Yep, you're the only one who could do it. You are the only one who could do the purpose that God sent you here to do. So, your brother can't do it. Your sister can't do it. She can't do it. She can't do it. No, they can't do the purpose. Only you. Only God put that purpose. You know Joseph's brothers, they was jealous. They were so jealous of his purpose, but God purposed them for something else. So you don't have to worry. God purposed you for what he purposed you for. Well, today, I think somebody's talking to me, but they're not coming through clear. Did you say something to me? All right. I guess that was noise in the background, but that's okay. Hallelujah. I thank God today we're going to be ready to praise him. You know why? Because Minister Lanny's on. She's the praiser, worshiper like all of us, but God has gifted her with the gift of praise and worship unto him, a special talent. Good afternoon, Minister Lanny. How are you today?
I'm fine, Sister G. How are you and all the other members of our group? Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord.
This song asks a question, but as we hear it, we're going to know the answer. God is an unconditionally loving Father. Unconditionally loving Father. He doesn't love us because of this or that. He loves us because he's God. Father, I have a question for you. If I can ask this question, Father, if you don't mind my question, may I ask this question? Oh, what kind of grace can see the real me Till Jesus died out on Calvary, took all of my sins and wrongs upon him, fixed it so I would not be condemned. Although I missed it again and again, you still kept me with your powerful hand. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? That's my question. Father, you said I could come boldly to your throne of mercy. To find help in my time of need, may I ask this question? Oh, what kind of grace can see the real me? Till Jesus died out on Calvary, took all of my sins and wrongs upon him, fixed it so I would not be condemned. Although I missed it again and again, still you still keep me in your powerful hand. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Oh, what kind of love can see the real me? Till Jesus died out on Calvary, took all of my sins and wrongs upon him, fixed it so I would not be condemned. Lord, I missed it again and again, still you still keep me in your powerful hand. What kind of love is this? What kind of love, oh God, is this? That's my question. Is it your grace, Jesus? Is it your compassion for me, oh God? Never have to shine for you to love me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Never have to starve for you to care for me, Jesus. Still loving me, though you know me so well. Thank you for the cross you bear for me, Jesus. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Oh, God, if I never get an answer, if I never get an answer, your love humbles me. Oh God, your love humbles me. I'm humble. Oh God, your love humbles me.
Ooh, amen, 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 amen. Father, I have a question for you. What kind of love is this? Oh, my God, that was so beautiful. Awesome, awesome. Yeah,
hallelujah.
You know, he loves in spite of. In spite
hallelujah.
Of. He don't care what we do. He don't care. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. He does care what we do. He wants us to live holy and righteous. But, you know, he don't care what we've done. So now we can all repent and say, Lord, forgive me, Lord. But I thank you for that kind of love that you have for me. Yeah, it's so complete. All right. So thank you so much, Minister Laney. That was beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. What kind of love is this? Hallelujah. Yep.
Hallelujah.
Can I ask you a question, Father? Lord, he's always available for our questions to give us the answers. We thank you for his Holy Spirit that leads and guides us unto all truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to ask Sister Mary Nichols, who's on with us, if she will pray for all of us and the elderly. And as the Lord leads her, good afternoon, Sister Mary Nichols. How are you? Hello?
I'm fine. I was on mute and, you know, I had to get back in. All right. Yes.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love, your mercy and compassion for us, our salvation. And Lord, I just want to tell you how grateful I am that we are here again before you, learning your word, studying, and being blessed by your Holy Spirit, your presence. Thank you, Lord. I pray for all of us and all of the older people, and that as we live one more day each day, that you will continue to fill us and teach us and then use us, Lord, for your glory. Pray for all of the people on the line and that we will find joy and fun as well as your word, Lord, as we study in Bible story land. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of prayer. We can have a conversation with God wherever we are. We could be in an airplane. We could be on a ship, in a car, in the bathroom, in Walmart. It doesn't matter. We can have a conversation with the Father. We can say, Abba, we need you. Abba, we call on his name, and he's already answered before we call. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you for that. Very, very powerful prayer. Thank God for each of you today. It's scripture search time. Get your Bibles out. Get your scriptures out. Bibles are needed. Today we're going to go, can you find me? Can you find me? And read me, please. Can you find me and read me? These are scriptures. I'm going to read the scriptures. You read it too. State your name and read it. Don't tell me you got it. I want to know you read it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you find me? All right, everybody know this, but I still want you to find me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Find it and read it. Hallelujah. State your name and read it. Tell me where it's found. I know you know where it's found. Everybody know that one since childhood. Do I hear pages turning? Oh, come on, y'all.
Sister Laney, the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Most of us learned that from childhood. All right. So the next scripture is, and you know what, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I need everybody to find the scripture. Now the first one find it, state your name and read it, and then we all going to read it. So make sure everybody finding the scripture. Everybody's going to read it together. After the first one who read it, find it, state your name. This one says, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us fall for themselves. Where is that found? And then read it. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us fall for themselves. Come on, got to find it. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us fall for themselves. Where is that found? Can't get lazy. We got to read. Come on, y'all. We got to read. Read the word. Somebody, anybody, everybody, find it. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy. Go ahead.
By Psalms 44:10.
All right.
Thou
go ahead, you read it, and then we all read
it. Okay, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us fall for themselves.
All right, everybody find it, Psalm 44:10. I give you a second if you don't have it. Is there anybody who doesn't have it yet? We'll wait for you. I know Brother Brian has it. He's a Bible scholar. Everybody over here, Bible scholars. Come on, y'all. Y'all ready? Who's not ready? All right. Everybody's ready. Let's read it on the count of three. Psalm 44:10. 1, 2, 3. Come on, read.
Thou
makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us
themselves.
Wow, that was beautiful. Y'all sounded so good. Excellent, excellent. All right, next scripture. I need everybody finding it. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in his indignation. Oh, my God. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide in his indignation. Where is that found? State your name and find it. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Where is that found? State your name and read it. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Where is that found? State your name and read it. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Where is that found? Come on, everybody. Everybody. Come on, y'all find it. State your name and read it. Don't wait for other people. Don't matter. Read it.
Mary.
Brian, go ahead.
Oh, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. That was the New International Version, which is the first one I came on.
I got it. All right, everybody,
okay.
On the count of three, we're going to read Jeremiah 10:10. One, two, three. But the Lord,
He is the living God.
And the earth shall not be able to abide indignation.
All right. Excellent. I love it. Love it. Love it. Y'all sound great. All right. We got two more scriptures. This one says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Everybody know that one. Come on, find it, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The thief cometh not but to steal, to destroy. All right, got it? State your name and read it. I saw somebody said they had it. The thief? Not. Go ahead. Hello? These cometh not, but to steal, to kill.
John 10:10.
And your name is?
Okay, Mary.
Okay, all right, read it.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly.
John 10:10. All right. I'm going to count to three. Everybody read it. One, two, three.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
All righty. Brother Brian, I didn't hear you. Come on, y'all got to read now. Okay, last scripture. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Where is that? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of the heaven, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Where is that one found? State your name and read it. What'd you say? I'm sorry, you talking to us? I thought somebody was saying they got it. Okay. Go ahead, y'all. Keep looking for it. When you get it, read it. State your name and read it. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming. Oh, you got it?
Mary. Revelation
okay.
2, Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. We're going to count to three, and everybody's going to read Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, come on, y'all, 1, 2, 3.
And I, John,
saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen. Everybody, that's us. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know what time it is, homework time. And several people called me and said, text me, they couldn't be on today. So it looks like I have to start it off. And, you know, I just love the Word of God. I mean, sometimes I'm in the Word 3, 4 in the morning, 1, 2 in the morning. I love to read the Word of God. It's like, wow, look at what you did for us, Father. You are such a great God. And way back when, he made preparations for us to come. He gave us a lineage, you know, an inheritance. And, you know, when you look at Genesis 46, Jacob, comforted by God when he was in Beersheba, and God told him, you know, he said, listen, you know, in a vision, God spoke to him. He said, he spoke to him, he called him Jacob, you know, but his name changed, remember, from Israel, Jacob to Israel, when he had that battle, you know, he was in that fight, and the Spirit touched his thigh, and you know, he was having that, now he's having a vision, and God spoke to Israel in a vision at night, and he said, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here am I, and he said, I am God, the God of your father. He said, don't be afraid. He said, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I will make thee a great nation. He said, a great nation. He said, look here, I want you to go to Egypt where your son Joseph is, and, you know, take the whole family. Don't be afraid. He said, Joseph is going to close your eyes when you die. When you leave this earth, Joseph is going to close your eyes, because you may, you know, a lot of people die and their eyes still open. Where he said, your son Joseph is going to close your eyes. So Jacob, when he woke up to his son, and, you know, he got everybody ready, even their little ones, their wives, and, you know, they got their wagons ready. And Pharaoh sent, you know, a special, you know, like, can you imagine in this day and time, and a limo is coming to get you, take you to a place because it's too much, you know, there's fires over there in California. So the limo coming to take you out of there. And you know, they have hurricanes in Florida. So the limo coming to take you out of there. Well, he going to take you out of all of these places where all of these catastrophes and everything, you know, he said, wait a minute now. Look, I got to take you to a place where there's no coronavirus. You know, ain't nothing going on. It's just going to be a peaceful place. Just go there. Just follow my directions and my lead, and I'm going to take you there. So can you imagine God preparing all of these things for Jacob? And he said, okay, now going down to Egypt, go down there, because I sent Joseph ahead of you so that you, you know, would have a place to live during the famine. You won't have to do without food. You won't have to do without water. You won't have to do without nothing. So just go. Ooh, let me see. Gloria Jean, she's out. I had to do her part. Rhonda, I'm still moving, and then I got to go all the way to 24, and then Sister Laney's going to pick it up. So, you know, as the story goes on, it begins to go into, you know, them traveling, and God talks about the seed of righteousness, and then, you know, he said, listen here, you know, Reuben was the oldest child. Reuben was the one who told the brothers when they wanted to kill Joseph, he said, wait a minute, y'all done lost your mind, don't you, that's our brother, we don't want his blood on our hands, that's the one Reuben, So Reuben is going, you know, he's getting everything ready, and they're all going, Simeon's going. And then, you know, they started naming all the brothers and sisters and who their mamas was. And you know, Jacob was the father of all of them. And they named them all. I mean, it was so many of them that were traveling. They were going to Egypt where Joseph was. Joseph had already been down there. Now, you know, Joseph went through a lot of things while, before they got there. But Joseph earned, he earned his crown. You know, he went like a lot. Oh, my God. He had to go through horrendous things to prepare for his family to come to Egypt. Now, at first, he didn't know all of that. But anyway, all of these children of Jacob, they were named. You know, you can name, read them all, 1 through about, you know, 24, 20, somewhere in there. And then it says, these are the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph, and Benjamin. You know the story. Rachel only had 2 children, and she died giving birth to Benjamin. And, you know, her husband, he loved her so much, and he favored her first child, Joseph. And, boy, that got Joseph in trouble. You know the story. Got Joseph in trouble with his brothers because his father. Can you imagine you a parent? Now, you got 12 children, and you going to buy one of them a gift and not all of them? You know that you're going to make jealousy come forward. Well, that's what Joseph's dad did. And God, oh, my God, he got him in a lot of trouble. You know, his brothers already didn't like him because the gift that came out, you know, he could give dreams. At that time, he wasn't even interpreting them. He was just having them. So his brothers got mad. But anyway, you know, they didn't know who Joseph was until later on. And when they found out who he was and the dream came true, they said, Joseph had told him when he was 17, he said, I see, you know, something bowing down to me. Well, it was his brothers, and guess what? They did it. They went to Egypt, and they didn't even know who he was. They were just bowing down to the one who was in charge. But I thank God, you know, Benjamin had sons, and Joseph had sons, and you know, all of Jacob's family went down to Egypt, and the king, Pharaoh, he sent for him. He sent a royal, I mean, he sent royalty down there. You know, they used wagons at that time, but it was an honor for the king to send for you, and you were not even related to the king? Oh, yeah, they sent for him. So, you know, the sons of Rachel, you know who they are, and then they talk about all of these sons, and so now it's on Sister Laney. You got Genesis 46, 25 through 32. I'm sorry, go ahead.
25 to 32?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. These are the sons of Bilhah.
Is that what I gave you?
I didn't get, I just got the scriptures for 46 and 47. I didn't get an assignment, but I typed it all out so I can, I bold printed some concepts about it because I didn't know how it was going to go.
I apologize.
That's quite all right. So the verses I have are 20. Did you say 25
through 32.
25
through 32. Yeah, and whenever that happened that you don't get your assignment, please text me and say, look, I didn't get my assignment this week. What's going on? I'll send it to you.
All right. I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yes, all the sons that were... As you said earlier, Joseph took all of his family down to Egypt, and there were Joseph's sons, wives, and all their souls were 66, and the sons of Jacob, which were born in Egypt, were 2 souls, all the sons of the house of Jacob, there were 70. That was in that number. He sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face to Goshen. When they got to Goshen, Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, presented unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. There was a great reunion. And Israel said, now let me die since I have seen thy face.
And Joseph, father said that I don't want to be buried here. I think I'm at the right place. And Joseph said to his brother and to his father, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brother and my father are here and were in the land of Canaan, and now come unto me. And he said that when you go to before Pharaoh, tell him that you're shepherds, for their trade had been to feed cattle, and they had brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they had. And it came to pass when Pharaoh asked them, what is your occupation? They said, our trade has been about cattle. We've been taking care of cattle all of our lives since we were children. Our fathers did it, and we're doing it now. You may dwell in the lands of Goshen, but every shepherd is an abomination unto Egyptians. I had a little controversy with that myself, you know, because it said you're shepherds, and shepherds taking care of cattle. You look for shepherds to take care of sheep. But it said every shepherd is an abomination unto Egyptians. And I went to verse 34.
Okay. All righty. Let's see who's next. Sister Mary Nichols, she has Genesis 46:33-34 and Genesis 47:1-6. Sister Mary. Are you there, Sister Mary?
Yes, I'm here. And would you repeat the numbers?
Okay. You had Genesis 46:33-34, Genesis 47:1-6. Whenever y'all don't get your homework about Saturday or Sunday, please call me. Please text me. Let me know you didn't get your homework. Please, because it's not my intention to leave you off. I thought I had texted everybody. I apologize.
Okay. Genesis 46, verses 32-34, and then in 47. The men, he was explaining that the men are shepherds. And that was their trade, and they had brought their flocks with them, and so that was, I think, why they were put into kind of a separate place. Lord had them put into a separate place, but because they were shepherds, and that was a good thing for the Egyptians, and that servant trade has been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we also and our fathers. So that was why they put them in the land of Goshen. In chapter 47, when Joseph came and talked to Pharaoh, he talked about their flock and that they had come out of the land of Canaan. Joseph actually presented some of his men, his brothers, to Pharaoh. And, of course, the king asked them, Pharaoh asked them, what is your occupation? As if he had not already been told that they were shepherds. And So they also needed a place for the cattle to dwell and to have pasture land, and so Pharaoh agreed readily to allow them to live in Goshen, and actually gave them sort of carte blanche as far as finding the land that they needed so that they could raise their cattle. And that's up to verse 6.
All right. Thank you, Sister Mary. Brother Brian, you're up next. Genesis 47, 7 through 14.
Yes, ma'am. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So Genesis 47, 7 through 14. So after following the events of 1 through 6, we see that Joseph is now brought before Pharaoh through his son Joseph. And Jacob begins to tell Pharaoh about the days of his life. And he describes it in verse 9. As the days and the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have the days and the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and the years and life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage. Now, while I want to say so much about this, I had in the summary, it's really a sermon in itself, but I'm just going to continue from there. So after Jacob had talked to Pharaoh, you know, he was blessed by him, and Joseph had brought, you know, Jacob, his brothers, and all of his family into the best land that they had in Egypt, which was the land of Ramesses. And after that, he had gave them bread. He had gave them stuff for all of their household. And then, you know, they lived happily ever after for the most part until you get to the end of chapter, verse 13, where the famine had got even worse than it was before. And it got to a point to where the people had ran out of money to pay for the corn. And now they're starting to go there and they're starting to buy from them using other means. And that's it.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. You guys are doing great. Thank you. All right. Sister Vivian had 47, 15 through 22. So people were running out of money and, you know, they were in the land, and, you know, the famine was so bad. And they went to Joseph, and he said, look here, give us some bread, or else we're going to die. Because, you know, we don't have any more money. And, of course, you know, Joseph had already been trained by God. He had a good heart, and he, you know, a compassionate heart. God had worked with him through all kind of situations in his life. And Joseph, you know, was a child when God first began, but over that, he molded and shaped him into a mighty man of God. And so Joseph had compassion on the people. And that's why Pharaoh put him over him. Not only did he have compassion, Joseph had favor. He had the favor of God on his life. When you have the favor of God on your life, that's more than money. That's more than everything. So God had conditioned him and trained him and was leading Joseph. So he didn't want the people to die because of a famine. He'd already prepared. Remember, Pharaoh told him, he said, listen, you interpreted my dreams and you understand them. So I'm going to put you in charge of everything. So Joseph was prepared for the famine. And he knew. He said, look, I got to have, you know, put food up. Because these 7 years, when the famine comes, we're going to have 7 years of good food. And he didn't squander stuff. He didn't say, well, this is too much. We just going to throw it away. No, they didn't throw good stuff away. They kept everything for when the famine came. So they knew it was going to come now. When God tells you something is going to happen, it's going to happen. It may be 40 years later, but it's going to happen. You know how the promise was for Sarah and Abraham, and they didn't believe it. You know, Sarah tried to help God, but Joseph didn't try to help her. He just went ahead and did what he had to do. He said, okay, I'm only going to do what God tell me to do. And he was led by God. So he put the stuff away for the famine. And he made sure there was enough for everybody. Now, you know, he could only do that if he was led by the Spirit of God. Because how did he know how many people were going to come? He didn't know. God didn't show him everything, but he gave him wisdom. So it's the wisdom that God put in him. He said, okay, I'm going to store this up. I'm going to store that up. And so we got to do this and we got to do that. So, you know, Pharaoh trusted him with the plan. And that last verse in verse 22, it says, only the land of the priests brought he not. For the priests had a portion assigned to them of Pharaoh and did eat the portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore, they sold not their, their land. So they didn't have to do that, but I thank God for all that, you know, God prepared Joseph to do. He prepared his heart not to be bitter, not to be angry for what had happened to him. So we got to say, Lord, prepare our heart for whatever's to come. You know, I mean, God prepared our heart for the coronavirus. You think maybe you weren't prepared, but you prepared. God prepared a long time ago. He prepared us for what's to come. But we got to still stay in his presence so we can stay prepared. And we won't panic and say, oh, my God. Oh, Lord, look at what's happening. Whoa, gee, You already prepared, so don't worry. God has already prepared you. He's already covered you. All you got to do is just trust in him. Don't worry about what you hear. Don't worry about what you see. Don't worry about those things. God has already prepared us. So I thank God. Now it's Sister Marion. She had Genesis 47, 23 through 31.
Oh, okay. Genesis 47.
Yeah.
Down to 21. Right. Where do I start? I'm sorry. Did you say Sister Marion? Sister Marion. Marion, right?
Sister Marion.
Oh, okay.
Sister Marion, you already.
Okay,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
47. Yes, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Okay. In chapter 22, only the land of the priests was not to be sold because that was assigned to them by Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joseph said unto the people that bought of this day and your land for Pharaoh, lo, they're going to be seeds for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it came to pass that the increase, that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for the seeds of the field and for your food, and them for your household. The only ones that did not give the fifth part was the priests, because Pharaoh had given them their land, and they were a part of Pharaoh. And they dwelt in the land of Egypt and the country of Goshen, and they had possessed therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, for the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. That's up to 28. Do you want me to go on? 31?
Yeah, you had 23 through 31.
Okay. 29, and the time grew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Jacob, and he said unto him, I have found grace in thy sight, and put, I pray thee, the land under my thigh, and dwell kindly, truly with me. He wanted him to not bury him in Egypt, but bury him where his fathers were in the burying place. And he said that he would do that, what thou hast asked. And he told him to swear to me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the head. That's through 31.
Yeah, okay. So Jacob died during that time right there where he said he died during that time right there. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you all so much for doing your homework. The message for today is, hold on, I'm going to give the message in just a moment. The message title is, Have You Taken Your Journey Yet? Have you taken your journey yet? Journey with purpose from your pit to your palace. Have you taken your journey yet from your pit to your palace? So, you know, we're all on a journey. Whether we know it or not, we're on a journey. But thank God we don't have to lead the journey. Father God is on the journey with us. He's the, His Holy Spirit is leading us. So what's a journey anyway? It's an act of traveling from one place to another, or a long and difficult process of personal change and development. If you will remember when Joseph was 17 years old, when his gift started to manifest, his gift was not received well by his brothers or his father. And you know, sometimes we want people to accept our gifts. We want people to accept them, but sometimes we're not always accepted. You know, it feels good when they say, oh, yeah, they so gifted, they so talented, and Some people not going to accept you. And so his brothers despised him, and his father rebuked him about revealing the dream that he revealed. But Joseph was a child. You know, you ain't, you know, when you're a child, Mama, I had a dream. Daddy, I had a dream. And you are so happy about those dreams. Now, other people may not be happy about your gifts and talents that God put in you, but you can rejoice because God gave you those talents. I don't care what other people think or what they say. God gave you those gifts, and He gave you those talents. Don't be worried about it if people don't accept it. You just do what God tells you to do. At the time when Joseph told his brothers about his first and then his second dream, anger rose up in them. I mean, they were angry. You ever been someplace and maybe you were on program or maybe you were just sitting at your seat and people started looking at you funny and treating you different, and you go like, well, what did I do? You ain't do nothing. They just saw the call of God on your life. Now, not long after Joseph's brothers plotted, you know, to kill him, and the brother, Reuben, said, wait a minute. Reuben said, no. I don't know about, we're not going to have blood on our hands. We're not going to murder him. So Joseph, in Genesis 37, 22, they said, no, we're not going to shed no innocent blood. Let's put him in this pit over here. So they saw the pit, and they put him in the pit. Now Judah, Joseph's brother, said in Genesis 37:26, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now they didn't know what they were doing. They were following God's plan, but they didn't know it. Now you know they didn't just decide on their own not to kill him. God put it in Reuben's heart. No, you're not going to shed innocent blood. Now this began a long time ago. Now let me tell you something. You know the murder began when Cain killed his brother. But you know what? God could have stopped it, but it was all a part of God's plan. God turned it around for their good. So, you know, this began a long time ago. Joseph's journey was long, very long and arduous. Oh, my God. He went through rough times. Can you compare yourself sometimes to Joseph? All the rough times you went through, they are not in vain. But we already know God's plan will prevail. His plan will prove more powerful than opposing forces. So you don't have to worry about what people are doing and how they acting. Just let them act up. God's going to straighten it out for you. I'm talking to myself and y'all. So God gets the victory every time. No, we can't steal the victory. God's going to get the victory every time. God's plan supersedes all plans. I don't care what the enemy plans. His plans are not going to work. All of God's plans are going to work. You know, God made the enemy too. And sometimes you think, oh, my God. Oh, you see what the enemy, yeah, he already know what the enemy doing. And all you got to do is stay in the presence of the Lord. All you got to do on your journey is like Joseph. Stay in the presence of the Lord. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're going to have favor. Joseph's journey lasted so many years. He went to the pit, to slavery, to the prison. He was lied on, mistreated, thrown in prison. And he was innocent. He didn't do none of that. He didn't do nothing. All he was doing was living his life every day. And all these misfortunes came up upon him. You know, he was mistreated, thrown into prison, forgotten. Oh, yeah. You ever told somebody, look here, call me and wake me up, you know, at 3 o'clock because I got this important meeting, and they forgot you. You're like, well, what happened? Oh, I'm so sorry. I was cooking. I was taking care of the kids. You know, whatever it was, they forgot you. And so they forgot Joseph for years. It wasn't no few hours. It was for years. He was finally remembered when they put him in prison. And then he interpreted dreams for two people. One of them got killed. He said what that dream was going to happen to the guy. But, you know, I mean, we all hoping that it's not the bad thing's not going to happen to us. But, you know, Joseph, he was a mighty man of God. And when you, the people of God, when we got God's hand upon us, his favor, oh, you don't have to worry about nothing. You know, what was your journey like? Or were you one of Joseph's brothers who hated him? You know, sometimes you could be on the other side. Now, you may have been a Joseph, but were you also like his brothers who hated? Did you feel like killing somebody you were jealous of? Was the person you were jealous of in your family? Was it your sister, your brother, your cousin? Was it the person, your neighbor, who was smarter or more beautiful than you, more handsome than you? Was it your coworker who got the promotion that you felt you should have gotten? Did you kill their reputation or their character through your mouth? Did you spread lies on them? Did you set them up for failure or to be hurt physically, spiritually, emotionally? Or were you the one put in the pit? Yeah, in your journey, did you suffer in silence or did you retaliate an eye for an eye? During your journey, did you fast and pray? You might still be on your journey. Maybe your journey didn't end yet. Or did you fight the battle yourself against those who plotted against you? Remember Psalm 35? David said, listen, God. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. We got to talk to God about it. We can't try to handle it ourselves. Just because your neighbor came over there with one of them rifles or pistols, you can't go in the room in the closet and get yours. No. You're going to cause some problems. You're going to be on the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news, and the weekly news. No. Did you take your battles into your own hands? Or did you pray and fast and allow the Lord to fight for you? Now, David said in Psalm 34, this is what he decided. No matter what he went through, he said, I, David, Caritha, I'm saying it for myself, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't care what I go through, I have to bless the Lord at all, even when I don't feel like it. I heard one person say one time, when do we bless the Lord? When you feel like it, and when you don't feel like it, you got to bless him all the time. Do you offer praises to God in the good times and when the not so good times? You know, the Lord is nigh. He's very close to those with a broken heart. And he saved those such be as a contrite spirit. You know, those whose spirit is crushed. I don't know about you, but as a child, my spirit was crushed. I went through so much. And I know y'all can testify y'all been through so much too. Can you imagine Joseph as a boy in a pit crying for help, screaming, get me out of here. He was only a boy, and they put him in a pit. Excuse me. He wanted his brothers to pull him out of the pit. But guess what they did? They sold him instead. As Joseph's journey continued, he was sold into slavery because the Lord was with Joseph. He prospered everywhere he went. He prospered in Pharaoh's household, and he prospered even in prison. The Lord was with Joseph, and he made everything that Joseph did. He prospered him. He prospered Joseph's hand. When God be with you, who could be against you? The devil approached Joseph in the form of Pharaoh's wife. The lie was told on Joseph because, you know, he tried she tried, you know, to say that Joseph slept with her. But he didn't sleep with his master's wife. He said, look here, my master trusts me. Do you think I'm going to break his trust in me? But, you know, he ran from her. And when he ran, he left his coat. You know the story. So the Lord was with Joseph and showed Joseph mercy and gave him favor even when he was in prison. Now, you know, many of us have been in prison. I ain't talking about a physical cell. I'm talking about a, you know, emotional prison, psychological prison. We got in prison. You know, maybe we got stopped by a teacher. Maybe a teacher spoke, you know, something in your life. They said, you ain't going to be nobody. You need to bring your grades up. The way your grades going, you ain't never going to be nobody. You ain't going to mount up. Maybe it was your own sister, your brother said, you know, you, girl, I made straight A's, and look at you. You making G's and F's and C's. You ain't going to be nobody. Maybe it was somebody in authority that spoke over you that said, look at them. You know how they do. They could sing better than you. They could play the keyboard. What can you do? You can't do nothing. So you may have been in an emotional, psychological prison in your mind because you let people shut you down. And you let people just, you know, their words just was killing you, shutting you down. But when God favors you, it doesn't matter who you are. When God favors you, it don't matter where you are. You could be in a pit. You could be in a prison or on your way. You could be in a palace. Joseph went through many difficult, and I'm talking about difficult situations in his life because God's hand was on him, and God helped him overcome every obstacle. You know those people who run track and have to run over them obstacles, those things, you know, and they make it every time. And you know, they practice hard. They practice and they practice and they practice. So that's, you know, our practice is in the Word of God. We got to study. We got to study the Word. We got to consult the Father. Father, I need help, Lord. He going to help you. Oh, yeah. Don't you think God is going to leave you in the midst of a battle? God is no respecter of person. He favors you, and his mighty hand is upon you. I'm talking to everybody on here today and those who will be listening later. What the devil meant for evil, God is going to turn it around just like he did for Joseph. He turned it around for his good. God's plan shall come to pass for your life. You heard the song by James Cleveland. I know Sister Laney know it. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but God didn't bring me this far to leave me. He ain't bring you this far to leave you. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans to prosper us, you, me, all of us, and give us a good future. Let's receive God's plan. Now, let's all repent for any way we've hurt another person. You know, I mean, sometimes people tell me, oh, Sister G, that hurt my feelings. I'm like, okay. It wasn't intentional. I repent before you. I repent to God. I didn't mean it. I would never hurt you intentionally. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes when a person is hurt, it's their past all built up that they ain't never been healed of yet. So we're going to repent in case we, you know, offended somebody unintentionally, whether, you know, or even, you know, we hurt them, you know, in any way. Sometimes we don't even aware of it. People just start acting different. You go like, well, honey, did I hurt you? Oh, no, ma'am. Oh, did I offend you? No, you didn't offend. They lying. Something changed. Maybe you were hurt. Maybe we were hurt. Hurt people hurt other people. So this is our prayer that I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open the lines back up so we can talk. Father God, Lord, forgive me. Forgive us for hurting your child. The one you birthed into this world, the one that, you know, that have a great future and a great hope. Forgive me for taking offense or giving offense. Lord, help me spread your love. Help us spread your love everywhere we go. Lord, help us, deliver us from ungodly acts of jealousy, envy, strife, anything like that. Lord, cleanse our mind of negativity, ungodly thoughts about others, about ourselves. Lord, help us to read your word, study your word, obey your word. Teach, Lord God, teach us, oh Lord, to apply your word to our lives. Lord God, Hebrews 4:12, which you wrote, says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, I thank you for your word, which divide my soul and my spirit, and our souls and our spirits, our joints and our marrows, which is discerner of our thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, we thank you for cleansing us and making us whole. Lord, thank you for teaching us to think on those things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, or whatsoever is virtuous, whatsoever is praiseworthy. Help us to think on those things. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Hallelujah. We have prayed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You know, the Lord is an awesome God, and he has plans for all of us, and we've all been where Joseph in. It may not have been a physical prison, but we all have been there. We all have been in a pit. So now, anybody want to respond to the message, want to say anything, you know, anything that you did to somebody and think somebody did, you make it brief. You know, about 1 or 2 minutes, you know. All right, the lines are open. Who's first? State your name and start. That mean you don't have nothing to say, because I don't hear you. You may be talking, but you may be on mute. I can't hear you. You talk.
This is Sister Marion.
Okay.
Yeah, in response to what you were saying, we may have done some, if you have someone that you were close with and all of a sudden they change and you don't know why, and you be pondering, what did I do? What did I say? And then you ask them and they tell you no. But then later on you find out that they were jealous of you because you were serving God stronger than them. You were doing and keeping the word of God, and they felt threatened by that. You know, and I have a problem with other Christians getting angry at another Christian because they're serving God and they're working in the vineyard. Why get jealous? Go and work with them. Go and do the things that they're doing instead of talking behind their back, but I was doing this and so she got here. Now they're using her to do this instead of using me. Whoever God used, work with them. That's how I feel. That's my point of view.
I'm the same way. Amen. I say amen, Sister Mary. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for those words. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Lines are open. That means you don't have nothing to say?
Sister G, this is Sister Lanny. I had to learn to get over the fact that when people were offensive or said unkind things or spoke untruths about you, often it's not about you, but it's about them. It's not that they don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to hurt Sister Lanny today, I'm going to offend her. But what they want to do is what they need for themselves. And sometimes we get in the way of what they want. It's not even because they don't respect you, they don't see what you do, and they don't, they see, they honor the gifting, but when it comes down to between them and you and another spirit is operating there, sometimes you get wounded in the way of you. I guess what I'm saying is that I had to learn to get over the shock of people assaulting and saying crazy things out of nowhere for, you know, you going, what happened? What just happened? You don't even know why. And I caught the revelation that people, it's not about them being offensive to me or you. It's just that they want what they want and you in the way. So you just kind of ran over because they were after what they wanted and you were in their way. When the motive is not about ministry, when the motive is about promoting yourself, and you've taken Christ off the throne and put yourself there, then you can be in somebody's way because the only thing that brings us together in the body of Christ is who is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit guide us and the Word guide us, we won't have those issues. But when we leave the Holy Spirit out and we get into our own things, and we're not motivated by the Holy Spirit and our motives are pure, then we wound each other and we get hurt. I had to learn how to not be offended. And that's, it's helping me to know that and not to take every offense and abuse of words and actions, don't take it personally because they're just doing what they want to do for themselves.
Amen. Thank you so much. Excellent. Yes, Lord, you took the words out of my mouth. Amen. Both of y'all said great words. All right, anybody else? That's it? All right. Well, you know, I'm telling you, I used to take offense all the time. Somebody said something, I looked the wrong way, I took offense. But, you know, God is teaching me, look, this is not, you know, this Christian walk is not about you, Carissa. He said, offense is going to come. But he said, don't you take offense. So I have to learn. Just because Sister So-and-so looked cross-eyed at me or looked like the women over there in the corner was talking and looking at me and talking to each other, thought they were talking about me, I have to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, you handle it for me, whatever it is. And you know what? He said offenses don't come, but he said, do not take offense. The word of God says, do not take offense. Now, you know what? We got, you know, you in the church and, even, I'm telling you, it don't only happen in the church. It happens in the job place. It happens where we work. Happen in your neighborhood, anywhere. But God is the one who's got to get the glory. So we got to say, okay, Father, I glorify you no matter what happens, no matter what I think, no matter what it looks like. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I can make up stuff in my mind and look like, ooh, was she looking at me like that? Oh, was he looking at me like that? Like they didn't like me? Sometimes, you know, I think we could make up stuff. You know, even when, you know, he said, look here, he told the child who was 8 years old, he said, I want you to preach the word. He said, I'm only a child. He said, don't you say you're a child. He said, and don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about what their faces look like. So we got to do what God says and don't worry about what their faces look like. And you know, we can imagine some vain things sometimes. We say, oh, I don't know. Doubt, you know, it's our thought life that get us in trouble. So we got to think on those good things. Well, it's time for prayer. It's time for prayer. Anybody else got something to say before we move into prayer? We're going to be closing out soon. All right. Well, I thank God for each of you. I am so grateful for each. You all just don't know. When I'm on the computer and on the phone. When I see your number pop up on the computer, your phone number, I'm like, yay, 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 Lord, my sisters, my brothers, they on the line. Thank you, Jesus. So I get so excited when I see your number because some people say, well, I had to go. Oh, that's okay. I know some people, you know, you got things you got to do. I do, too. But, you know, do what you got to do. Just go ahead, hang up. You don't even have to tell me. I can see when your name will hang up, when you come back, when you go off. It don't matter. But, you know, you're important to God, and you're important to me. I love each of you. Each of you brings so much to me. Oh, my God. I'll go through things, and I'll think about each of you. And I say, oh, you know, yeah, my sister said that. Yeah, my brother said that. I appreciate you. I thank God for the divine connection that he connected us. And you know what? Sometimes when they say iron sharpens iron, so if I'm stepping on your toes, you're stepping on my toes. I'm like, ooh, ow, ow, ow. But take it. Take it anywhere. Take it anyway. Be strong and be thou very courageous, Carissa. I said, okay, Lord, be strong. That's what I'm telling y'all. Be thou strong and very courageous. Because you know what? The adversary, he want us fighting each other. But we say, no, no, no. We going to join forces against the enemy. We got to be like David. He said, what? What you say? I don't care how big you are. I don't care if you 8 foot. I don't care if you 20 feet. Look here. I come in the name of the Lord. And when you go in the name of the Lord, Can't nothing defeat you. So I want to know, I want you to thank God today for hearing our prayers, answering our prayers for our baby. Oh, yeah, I told you, baby boy, she's beginning to walk now and utter some words out. So I thank God for her mother, her father, her sister, her grandparents. So who want to say a prayer of thanksgiving for our babies, how they're making progress, and God still have them in the land of the living. And I thank God, you know, for the baby. So who want to pray for the baby? We got to make it quick, though, because we got to get off of here soon. So short prayers, you guys. Brother Brian, you want to pray for the babies today?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go right ahead.
Heavenly Father. Ma'am?
I didn't say anything.
Heavenly Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for everything that you've done through here today. We thank you for everything that you continue to do, God. Right now, we lift up all of the babies, God. We lift up baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, God. We pray that you continue to heal them, God. Continue to be with them, God. Cast your arms over them, God, in every situation. We know that they have such a calling on their lives, God, each and every one. We know that they're going to grow up and do amazing things for you and your kingdom, God. And we just ask now that you continue to protect them each and every way, God. We pray for all of the other kids now, God, around the world. We ask that you continue to do the same for them, God, because you want to raise them up, God. You want to use them, God, and you want to love them, God. You are their father, God. You are the father of the fatherless, God. Even if they don't have parents, even if they don't have people to look over them, God, we know that you're watching over them, God, and we pray that you will do everything that you need to do through them, God. We love you, God. We thank you, God, and we know that you have done all those things. As we touch and agree, God, we know that they have already been done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. All right, who wants to pray for Esther, Valerie, and baby Chloe's grandfather? Quick prayer. Who want to pray? State your name and pray. Pray healing for them. Sister Marion, would you pray for them?
Yes. Most gracious and everlasting Father, right now I come before you, Lord God. First, to thank you, Lord God, to praise you and to lift you up right now, Lord God. I bring the brother before you right now, Lord God. I pray an act of healing, anointing over his body right now, Lord God, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Continue to strengthen him where he's weak and build him up where he's torn down. Lord God, lift him up right now on every side right now, Lord God. Special healing anointing right now over his body right now, Lord God. Put a hedge of protection over him right now in the name of Jesus. Bless him and keep him right now. Strengthen him in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you for Esther. We thank you for Valerie, your daughters. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives, the healing process throughout their bodies, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you've done, everything you're about to do on their behalf. We just bless and honor you. You are the King of Kings. And Lord, I lift up everyone who's been on today, who's on now, who will listen later. And I thank you, oh God, for hearing their prayers, even their unspoken requests, oh God. And Father, we thank you for the Wednesday midweek Bible study and everything that you've done. And even those things, Lord God, that we did not even speak about, that we may have requests for, particularly our families, oh God. Move on our families, Lord. And even as I remember Sister Lanny said yesterday, Lord God, about a young man who passed away, a family who's grieving right now. And so many families are grieving because of the loss of their loved ones. And Lord, it's not just the oldest people who are passing away. It's young people. It's children. It's so many people, Lord God. It is like, it sometimes looks like it's overwhelming. But, Lord, I thank you that you have all of us in the palm of your almighty hand. Nothing by any means can harm us. So, Father, we pray for the salvation of our lost loved ones, oh God, of our family members, of those that we know, Lord God, for our city, our nation, oh God. We pray for the unborn, Lord God, that you would, oh God, move on their behalf. Lord, the ones that can't speak for themselves, that's in the belly. Those mothers or those fathers that are thinking about, you know, killing their unborn babies, Lord, move on their hearts, change their hearts. Even the doctors who are aborting babies in the clinics, Lord God, move on them, speak to them. Save them, oh God. Let them know. Give them a Damascus Road experience, just like you did Saul on the road to Damascus and you changed him to Paul. Change those doctors, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise and honor you and we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We just bless your name right now and we honor your mighty, mighty, mighty name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. I'll be talking to y'all soon. I'll send the homework out soon.
Amen. Love you.
Have
too.
A good one. Bye.
Love you, boy. Love you. Yeah.
Love
bye-bye.
Everybody.
Love y'all too.